All right, so picture this. You're in Paris, right? And you're strolling through the Musée d'Orsay, taking in all the incredible art, sunlight streaming through these huge windows, illuminating a painting so grand, so captivating, that it stops you dead in your tracks.
I can only imagine. What painting are we talking about here?
We're talking about William Adolphe Bouguereau's masterpiece, The Birth of Venus. This guy, Bouguereau, he was a total rock star in the late 1800s art world.
I've heard the name.
And this painting, it's like his magnum opus effusion of mythology, insane artistic technique, and even a little hidden surprise we'll get to later.
Sounds intriguing. Now, I'm no art expert, but fill me in. What makes this Birth of Venus so special?
Well, for starters, it's not every day you see a goddess emerging from a giant scallop shell like it's her own personal chariot.
Okay, I can see how that would be eye-catching.
And we're not talking a small canvas here. Imagine this. Venus, almost 10 feet tall, commanding your attention.
Wow, that's huge. You definitely couldn't miss that. So, what's the vibe? What's she like, this Venus?
She stands there completely nude, but Bouguereau's portrayal, it's not about just showing nudity. It's about this celebration of beauty, the classical ideal.
Ah, like those ancient Greek sculptures, the ones that were all about the perfection of the human form.
Exactly. And her pose, it's like she's posing for the heavens, you know?
Yeah.
Completely serene, almost aloof.
You'd never guess she just popped out of a seashell with a whole entourage of mythical creatures by the looks of it.
It's a whole party going on. You've got these adorable little putti, those winged cherubs just flitting around her.
Okay, I see them. They're pretty hard to miss. Cute little guys.
And if you look closer, you'll spot Cupid with his trusty bow and arrow.
Of course. Gotta have Cupid in a painting about Venus, the goddess of love.
And right beside him is Psyche, his mythological soulmate.
It's like Bouguereau is subtly weaving in a whole love story alongside Venus, the goddess of love herself. Clever.
Totally. It's like he's saying, hey, love is in the air, literally. And then there are these nymphs, some even riding on the backs of centaurs. It's a full-blown celestial celebration.
No, that's what I call an entrance.
Right. And notice how some of them are blowing conch shells. It's like a grand fanfare for her arrival. Bouguereau is making a statement, showing us how important and powerful Venus is.
So he's using this rich mythological history to really amp up the scene. I like it.
Exactly. And speaking of history, the title, The Birth of Venus, it's not exactly what you might think.
Oh, how so? I always thought she was born from the sea or something.
Well, you're not wrong. Some of those ancient myths do say that she was born from sea foam, but Bouguereau isn't actually depicting that moment. Instead, he's showing her arrival at Paphos in Cyprus. It
Paphos.
was this coastal city considered sacred to Venus, the very spot she stepped ashore after, rising from the wave.
I see. So it's like her official debut.
Exactly. And imagine Paphos back then, it would have been teeming with temples, rituals, all dedicated to Venus, a hub for celebrating beauty, love, and everything she represents.
It makes sense that Bouguereau would choose Paphos for his painting. It adds a whole other layer of meaning.
Exactly. And what's even more interesting is that he's not the first artist to be captivated by this scene. In fact, he's drawing a direct line to one of the most iconic paintings of the Renaissance.
Let me guess. Botticelli's Birth of Venus.
You got it. You can't help but see the parallels, the pose, the shell, the wind blowing through her hair. It's a clear homage.
But it's not a copy, right? I mean, Bouguereau was his own artist.
Oh, absolutely not. He's borrowing elements, yes, paying tribute to the masters, but he's also doing his own thing, crafting his own unique interpretation. And this is where things get really interesting because Bouguereau's style, well, let's just say it was quite daring for his time.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. Tell me more. What do you mean by daring?
Well, if you had to sum up Bouguereau's style in one word, it would be smooth.
Smooth. Like what? Like jazz on a summer night.
Haha, maybe. But in this case, I'm talking about those old Hollywood glamour shots where everything is flawless, every detail perfected.
Right. I know what you mean. That's the vibe Bouguereau was going for. He was all about this idealized realism.
Idealized realism. So it's real, but better. Like the best possible version of reality.
Exactly. He's capturing the essence of a woman, a shell, a cherub, all those elements, but he's perfecting them, smoothing away any imperfections. And this, my friend, was a bold move in the late 19th century.
Really? Why is that? What was going on in the art world back then?
Well, this was the era of the Impressionists, Monet, Degas, Renoir.
Oh, right, of course.
They were all about capturing light and movement, using these loose brushstrokes to create a sense of immediacy. But Bouguereau, He stuck to his guns.
He wasn't having it with those impressionists.
Not really, no. He embraced those classical techniques, that pursuit of ideal beauty. He was a bit of a rebel in his own right.
Wow, that's so interesting. So while the impressionists were out there breaking all the rules, Bouguereau was upholding tradition.
Yes, but in a way that felt fresh and innovative. He was a champion of academic art, adhering to those time-honored rules of composition and beauty.
So where do we see that in The Birth of Venus?
Just look at the way he paints Venus's skin. It's luminous, almost as if she's glowing from within.
It's true. There's a certain radiance to it. How did he do that?
Masterful use of light and shadow, a technique he honed over years of dedicated study. And here's a little fun fact for you, that Venus, she's not entirely new.
Wait, what do you mean? Did he use a model or something?
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Bouguereau actually based her figure on an earlier painting of his called The Nymphaeum. It's like he took this figure, this embodiment of ideal beauty, and said, you're going to be the star of my next masterpiece.
Ah, I love that. It's like she was destined for greatness.
Exactly. And speaking of interesting details, there's one element in this painting that's particularly intriguing.
Okay, you've got to tell me. What is it?
Well, have you ever noticed that subtle shadow in the top left corner of the painting? It's easy to miss, but once you see it.
I think I know what you're talking about. It's kind of faint.
Right, but many art historians believe that it's not just any shadow. They think it bears a striking resemblance to, wait for it, Bouguereau himself.
Whoa. Are we talking like a hidden self-portrait here?
Exactly. It's like finding a secret message from the artist himself. Take a closer look at the shadow's profile, the hat, even what appears to be a hand holding a paintbrush.
No way. I'm going to have to look that up. But why do you think he would do that? What's the meaning behind it?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It could be a statement about the artist as a creator, almost like a godlike figure bringing this scene to life. And remember, he was all about upholding tradition, embracing those classical ideas of beauty and perfection.
So maybe he saw himself as carrying the torch of that artistic legacy.
Exactly. But then again, it could also be something more introspective, you know? Maybe surrounded by these figures of myth and legend, Bouguereau was contemplating his own place in the grand scheme of our history.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. Like, he's wondering how his work will be remembered compared to these timeless stories.
Precisely. And speaking of Bouguereau's artistic process, remember how we talked about Venus's incredibly lifelike, almost glowing skin?
Oh, yeah. The way he captures light and shadow is amazing. It's like she's lit from within.
It's no accident, believe me. He was a huge advocate for academic art, which stressed rigorous training and those classical techniques.
Right. Right. So that incredible smoothness, that idealized realism, that's all because of his intense training.
Exactly. And it really sets him apart, especially during a time when artists were breaking free from those traditions.
It's true. He really did pave his own way. But with The Birth of Venus, he wasn't just experimenting with techniques, right? He was also playing with symbolism and mythology.
Absolutely. It's all connected. We talked about Venus and her connection to Paphos. But what about those other figures, those mythical beings surrounding her?
It is interesting that he chose to include them. What do they represent? Just decoration?
Oh, they're much more than just decoration. Each figure adds another layer of meaning to the painting.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more.
Take the Pudi, for example. Those adorable little cherubs, they're not just cute. They represent love and desire. Themes that are, of course, linked to Venus.
Right, of course. And what about Cupid aiming his arrow? He's not trying to make me fall in love with a painting, is he?
Well, let's just say that Bouguereau might have been hoping to spark a different kind of love, a love for art, for beauty, for the power of these mythological stories.
I see. He wanted to inspire viewers.
Exactly. Hmm. Remember, Cupid's arrow represents desire, and Bouguereau definitely wanted people to desire the beauty he was depicting.
He definitely achieved that. But it's not just about superficial beauty, is it? There's a real depth to Bouguereau's work, this sense of history and mythology that makes you want to know more.
You hit the nail on the head. It's that combination of technical mastery, thoughtful symbolism, and a deep respect for tradition that makes The Birth of Venus such an enduring masterpiece.
It really is an invitation to look closer, don't you think?
Yeah.
To unravel the secrets and appreciate the skill, the thoughtfulness behind every detail.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of details, there's one more aspect of this painting that I think you'll find absolutely captivating. Remember how we were talking about Bouguereau drawing inspiration from Renaissance masters?
Yeah.
Like Botticelli?
Yeah, totally. Like, his Birth of Venus was kind of his nod to that earlier masterpiece, but still, you know, uniquely Bouguereau.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just the whole composition or subject matter. Bouguereau was fascinated by the actual techniques of those Renaissance greats. Like, one of the things that made their paintings so lifelike and captivating was this technique called glazing.
Glazing, like those yummy pastries.
Tempting, but no, not quite. In painting, glazing means you're applying these thin, almost see-through layers of paint on top of each other to create a sense of depth and luminosity.
Ah, okay, so it's not just one flat color. It's like, what, multiple layers, each one kind of peeking through.
Exactly. It's like building up this rich tapestry of color, layer by layer. And let me tell you, Bouguereau, he was a master of this technique.
Wow, so if you got up close to the birth of Venus, like with a magnifying glass, you'd see all these different layers of color.
You got it. Each one adding a little something to the painting.
That's incredible. It's like he's weaving magic with those layers, making the figures in the background seem almost three-dimensional.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why his paintings have this almost unreal glow, why Venus's skin seems to, like, radiate light. It's all about those carefully applied layers of glaze playing with the light.
It's amazing how much detail and thought went into every single part of this painting. No wonder it's so famous.
I know, right? And when you think about Bouguereau's dedication to his craft, his obsession with those old school techniques, his goal of creating timeless beauty, it makes that shadow in the corner we talked about even more interesting, don't you think?
You're right. It takes on a whole new meaning, knowing all that about him. It's like he's saying, hey, I'm here too, continuing this legacy of beauty, adding my own voice to art history.
Exactly. And it's up to us how we interpret it, right? A playful signature, a deeper statement about the role of the artist, or maybe just a moment of self-reflection. Whatever it is, it makes you think, and that's what good art should do.
It's definitely left a lasting impression on me. Diving deep into this painting, Bouguereau's techniques, his inspirations, that mysterious shadow, I have a totally new appreciation for the birth of Venus.
Me too. It's not just a pretty picture. It's like this portal into a world of artistic skill, mythology, and maybe even a glimpse into the artist's soul.
Well said. So there you have it, folks. Bouguereau's The Birth of Venus, a true masterpiece.
And you know, maybe next time you're looking at a piece of art, any piece of art, you'll find your own hidden details, your own interpretations. That's the beauty of it, right?
Absolutely. That's what makes this whole journey of discovery so exciting. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep those deep dives going.